Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Hey, pet friends. Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. I'm Nessie. Mysterious? Maybe. Magical? Definitely.
My name's Echo. You've probably heard me before.
I think I have a time or two. I might know some. What we've decided to do is break it into three parts to finish our toxins. What are we finishing?
Our episode on toxins.
Our toxin series. There we are. Thank you. And this is going to finish up on all the stuff that we couldn't fit in our other episodes. Is that good enough for the introduction?
Yes. Okay. So household items. Let's talk about those products around the house, garage, and around. So some minor toxicities around the house can be things like, you know, fertilizers for the garden, which have a low risk of fatality. They're usually just limited to GI upset. Play-Doh or salt dough, and we've talked about salt toxicity in part one of our toxins episode. Some types of glue, like crazy glue or Elmer's glue, which bring about mostly just GI upset. Although, Gorilla Glue can expand after ingestion, and as little as like 1 to 2 tablespoons can cause a foreign body blockage, which is way more serious. So I didn't know that. Low lights are also toxic, though usually they're only minimally so because of the bitter taste. So they don't really like to eat it, but it can bring about GI upset. If it gets on the skin, that's going to be the bigger problem, especially if like self-grooming animals like cats, and they can orally ingest it over and over again as they continually clean themselves. Things like plug-in air fresheners can be dangerous if ingested, or like if a pet rubs up against it and gets the liquid on their skin. Snail and slug bait can be fatal, with death occurring within hours of ingestion. So that was a big one. I didn't know that. I also don't have snail and slug bait, but if you do, keep that well sealed and far away from anywhere your pets can get to it. Mothballs, those are toxic if they're ingested, or if the chemical is absorbed through the skin, or even if the chemical vapors are inhaled. So keep pets away from anywhere where mothballs can be.
Or neuter your moths.
Yes. Get your moth spayed and neutered.
Neuter your moths and you will eliminate mothballs.
That was legitness. That was, huh?
Pennies could also be dangerous. So after, I think they said 1982, maybe, pennies were made with zinc in them. So if that's ingested, it can cause damage to red blood cells and GI.
Fun fact, I heard our recent regime is doing away with pennies. They cost more to make a penny than a penny is worth.
I've heard that.
Doesn't feel like a great financial decision.
No.
And also the amount of pennies that you find just tossed about because nobody wants them.
No.
I know if you collect enough of them, you'll equal up a dollar. I'm not collecting them.
Say what?
I haven't used cash in, I don't even know, a very, very long time.
No. Mm-mm. Me either. Nope. I will walk over a penny on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not picking it up. Mm-mm. In fact, if I get a penny as change, it goes in the coin jar. But if I happen to be cleaning and just find a random single penny, I might just throw it in the trash because I'm mad.
Like, I don't want you.
Why are you here?
Why are you here?
I'm not going all the way to the coin jar. I have a trash bag right here. I know that's stupid. It makes no sense.
You know, we throw away things that are far more valuable than just a penny. So there's that. I remember when I was a kid, my parents had gotten a medical bill and it was for $2. My mom was so annoyed that she had to pay this medical bill for $2 that she took like 4 rolls of pennies and she took it into the place. And she was like, "You said I owe you $2. Here you go." And the lady just laughed and laughed. And she was like, "That's not correct. You don't actually owe us anything. Like, you can take your pennies." Moose Bowl.
No, you keep these pennies.
That's right. We didn't want pennies either. Back.
I bet she wishes that you could go to the doctor for just $2 today.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? I wish I could go to the doctor for $2 today.
Will never happen.
No. Nicotine is another one that's dangerous for pets. You know, some pets will just grab a cigarette butt, but you know, that's, you know, and that's bad enough. But like, also there are some.
Do you light it?
Do you light it for them?
They just want a little swig of it.
They just want a little puff, puff. Some nicotine products.
They're down bad. Yeah.
They're down bad?
Yeah, they're down bad. They need that last hit of that butt.
Some nicotine products, like, you know, types of gums can have artificial sweeteners in them. And you know, we've talked about artificial sweeteners before. Most commonly, you know, vomiting occurs pretty quickly after ingestion, which actually makes the toxicosis a bit less likely. Birds, though, they said in particular, are very susceptible to toxicity from inhalation of secondhand tobacco smoke.
Don't blow a shotgun to your bird.
A shotgun?
A shotgun is where you puff in a smoke. Usually I think it's weed, but I think you could do it with a cigarette too. And then you blow it into somebody's face so they get it secondhand.
Oh, that sounds don't really do gross that. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't like don't
from
do that
your
to
mouth
hurts.
Just into someone else's.
No, thank you.
And you know, if you remember, I used tuna toothpaste from the previous episode.
That's right.
The tuna or beef flavored. So you definitely don't want a shotgun.
No. A large enough dose of nicotine is lethal for dogs.
Gotcha.
I'm real struggling to talk today. Even
real struggling.
I am. I'm doing a bad job. Oh dear.
It's not so bad. I real struggle all the time.
That's good. I'm glad I'm not alone. Even baking soda can be harmful if ingested in large enough quantities. So I know a lot of people like to use it for odor control. Like, I've been told to set out like a big bowl of baking soda in the same room as the cat litter boxes because it'll absorb the odors. I don't know. Maybe that's an old wives' tale. You're shaking your head, but I've heard that before. I've not done it just because, you know, what if my cats knock it over? Then I'm going to have baking soda on everything.
That sounds like a mess.
Yeah.
I do have a open box of baking soda in my refrigerator. It's been there for 7 years, so I don't think it does anything anymore. But I think the idea was originally supposed to be to like control fridge odors or something. I don't know. My family always had one in the fridge, so when we got our place and we got our brand new refrigerator, I was like, we need to put a baking soda in here. That's just the thing that we do. And it's been in there for 7 years. I'm not going to see what's going on with it. It
might
just
need
stays
replacement.
In the back. It's out of the way.
I don't know.
I don't think it ever did anything, to be honest.
Do you want to give us another review?
I do. So you don't keep one in your fridge then?
No. Mm-mm.
Huh.
I never have.
Well, then I guess my fridge is fresher than yours.
It might be.
And if I ever needed to bake something that needed baking soda, I'll just use that.
Why would you want to use that?
Okay, okay. Okay.
Now just take a pinch from the bowl in the cat litter box area.
The cat litter bowl. That's a better idea. Who is our next one from?
This one will be from Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue for their song Poison Apples.
Poison Apples. Well, what's her name again?
Nikki Sixx. Is a
Nikki
guy.
Sixx. Him. My bad. Nikki.
He, him.
So he, Nikki, left a review for a dog park called Trout Lake Off Leash Area in Vancouver, Canada.
Oh, hello, Canada.
Here.
They
traveling,
hate us right now.
They do. That's not our fault. Don't blame us.
No.
We still like you.
Yeah, we love you, Canada. Please don't be mad at us.
Yeah. I have a 2-star review from Sir Nikki. And he said, rotten with misbehaved dog owners, overrun by drum circles, not a fan.
I appreciate that he noticed that the misbehavior came from the dog owners, not the dogs.
Uh-huh.
Polite dogs, bad owners.
It was overrun by drum circles.
What does that mean?
So in movies, it's usually where a bunch of, like, I want to call them hippie type people that are probably, like, they seem like they're still in the 70s era.
Okay.
Sit in a circle, and some of them have drums, and they chant and sing together and maybe pass a peace pipe around.
Okay.
Apparently they're doing that in this park in Canada. Everywhere.
Interesting.
You guys must have a lot of drums in Canada.
An abnormal number of drums.
So many that people get them and collect in groups at this dog park.
Maybe it's actually a drum park and he misread the sign.
Ooh. It's a trout park, first of all.
Well, that seems unrelated.
They both are wrong. Those trout have every right to kick both of you off their property.
That's right. This is a trout park.
Your drums are bothering them. Your misbehaving owners are bothering them. The dogs can stay.
The dogs can stay. I bet the dogs try to catch the trout. Although he said that it was the owners that were misbehaving and not the dogs. So maybe the dogs don't try to catch the trout. The trout.
I don't think they would.
No.
No, they're not bears.
That's true. I have not personally had a dog that would catch fish, but I have had dogs that tried.
I have not.
Gosh, I had forgotten I had this memory. When I was a really little kid, I lived in South Carolina, and we had a neighborhood festival every year when school got out, and they would have the games and the blow up bouncy castles and stuff like that. So we would have this festival or whatever. They would have games where the prizes would be goldfish. And so they had those little plastic kiddie pools of goldfish, and then, you know, they'd pick one up and give them as prizes. And I remember one year, and I did not see this with my eyeballs because I feel like as a child who loved all animals, this would have just scarred me. So I didn't actually see it, but I do remember a big commotion, you know, a ways away. And I remember being told that what had happened was somebody brought their dachshund to the event, and it had seen the goldfish and just reached in and grabbed one and killed it. Ate it, maybe? I don't remember. But I had forgotten about that. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. That's a wild thing to happen. I just didn't think that they were out here fishing, you know?
Probably not intentionally, no. And I feel like that's a very dachshund kind of thing to do.
Yeah, that does seem a little dachshund-like of them. I know retrievers, they'll go to the water to retrieve the ducks that their hunters have done, but I've never seen anyone, like, send their retriever in to retrieve a fish.
I wonder if that's a thing that pets are taught to do, like if that's an event. So the ACVP, which is the American College of Veterinary Pharmacology, it's where a lot of the information from today's episode came from. They have a bit of a warning about CBD oil. So I thought that was interesting. Did I say that weird? While CBD oil seems to be, you know, more and more popular more recently for trying to treat pain and anxiety for people, I know I've also seen it advertised for pets recently too. Here's the thing about CBD oil, and this is a direct quote from the ACVP website. And I know I've heard, you know, doctors I've worked with over the years say the same thing to pet owners as well. There is no specific data on the use or dosage of CBD in pets. These products are also not regulated, so there's no way of ensuring the efficacy. So if you have a pet that's in extreme pain and your veterinarian says, you know, let's try this and gives you a recommendation and a dosage for CBD oil, like, that's one thing. You know, definitely listen to your vet. But you and me, like, we cannot encourage anyone to just try it on their own at home. So that's what it says about CBD oil.
You're like the peanut butter to my jelly.
Okay.
You said you and me.
Ooh. Yes. I was like, did I just miss something? Did I say something and I didn't hear it? Okay. Very good.
A little bit.
I'm not functioning great today, I guess.
I snuck that one in there.
Like it was a secret. Secret.
It was. Yeah. For me, you, and all of our listeners.
So you and I both used to live in the north. So, you know, we are both familiar with de-icing salts. being possibly toxic to pets. The most common de-icing salt is sodium chloride, which can be toxic in large quantities. But there are other formulas that are less toxic, but they're also more expensive. Pets can get like GI upset, tremors, seizures, disorientation, you know, but it also can burn and crack their paw pads after walking on it. And then it can cause like some oral irritation if they lick it off their feet. Just be mindful of having it around the house, around the yard. DEET is another common household product that can be very dangerous to pets.
DEET's nuts.
Yes. Yes, it is. It can cause neurological complications. So never, never, never put DEET on your pet. So
or your nuts.
Don't do that either. That sounds terrible. It's good advice, though.
I couldn't resist that one.
Symptoms include skin irritation, increased drooling, vomiting, tremors, difficulty walking, increased agitation.
Probably because...
Right.
Probably because she put it on DEET's nuts. That's very agitating.
Ethanol is another one, which is an alcohol product found in things like hand sanitizers. So if ingested, like this can cause low blood sugar, decreased blood pressure, and dangerously low body temperature. I did not know that, but that's kind of scary. Similarly to CBD oil, the ACVP also cautions against the use of essential oils with pets. There is a variation with the toxicities of different types of oils, like as well as a wide range of concentrations. There has been an incline of popularity of more concentrated essential oils, some going as high as 100%. Cats, rabbits, guinea pigs, and hamsters tend to be more sensitive with dermal exposure due to their increased risk of oral exposure via grooming. Birds are more likely to suffer the respiratory effects than other animals due to their specialized respiratory system. Symptoms can range from ataxia, muscle weakness, depression, behavior changes, and then in severe cases, we can see hypothermia and collapse. And again, this is something like if you've discussed it with your veterinarian and they are recommending an essential oil and they give you the dosage that is safe for your pet, like absolutely follow the directions of your veterinarian. Peppermint oil is specifically toxic to cats and birds if ingested or inhaled. And some formulations like wintergreen oil has a derivative of aspirin, which is, you know, like we just talked about, like it makes them even more dangerous for cats. Tea tree oil specifically has been marketed for use on dogs, cats, ferrets, and horses to treat external parasites. I've seen that. Though appropriate dilutions of tea tree oil can be used, it is extremely important to talk to your veterinarian to get the appropriate concentration and dose for use, really for any pet. And due to intoxication, like 100% tea tree oil should never be used on any animal. It is especially dangerous for birds.
I used to have a tea tree oil shampoo I used, and it made my head tingle. Bruh.
My favorite medicated shampoo was this, I think it was the Esprit brand tea tree oil shampoo and conditioner. I loved it. I used it on myself, which was a really bad idea. It dried out my hair real bad, but I loved it.
I am concerned if it makes my head all tingly, what that's like to an animal. Like if they're like, why am I tingly?
I don't know. Do you have another review?
What's this tingle business? Yes.
Tingle business.
Do you have another name?
I do.
Tingle business is actually a name that I would like to continue. We need to find something great to call tingle business.
I have ideas. I should not voice them.
We'll talk about them later.
Yeah. Off the podcast. Off mic. How about Angus Young from AC/DC for their song Inject the Venom?
That sounds aggressive.
It is aggressive.
Okay. Liam Neeson.
Angus Young.
Angus Young. I was close. All right.
You were so close.
Angus left a review for Jerry Sulina Dog Off Leash Area in Maple Ridge, Canada.
We love Canada.
Yeah, we do. If y'all wanted to send us some Canadian maple syrup, come find us. Oh, like not in real life, like online.
Don't please, come to my house.
Please not actually come find me with like a box and some syrup in it and be like, hey,
I found you.
I got you some syrup. And then I might be like, no thanks. But come find me online and we could talk about it.
Talk about it. I mean, that would be very far for anyone from Canada to come down here.
But I'm not going to test it. So, anyway. It is a 2-star review.
Okay.
From Angus. I wish there were signs with maps that showed the layout and where I am on it. I ended up walking much further than I intended, and I had to backtrack in the rain to find where I had parked.
I wonder if he ever found his car.
I also don't know why you would give 2 stars to a park because you chose to go there when it was raining, Angus.
And you got lost.
And you got lost. Like, you need to have a better sense of direction. Where's your GPS? Didn't you put a pin when you parked?
Can you do that?
Yeah. I do it. When I go downtown, I put a pin on my...
I didn't know that was a thing.
Google Maps. Yeah. You put a pin down, and then you can go wherever you want. And you're just like, hey, where's my pin? And then it'll get you back to your car.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost my car many times.
There you go. So as soon as you park, you just long poke, long touch, and then...
Long poke.
Long poke.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. Yeah. You would have never lost your car if you knew what I just learned today.
That's right. If you had known how to drop a pin, you would not lose your car.
Also, don't drop an actual pin at the dog park.
No, that'll hurt somebody's tootsie.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's the figurative pin on a map on your phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Angus, I think you did a bad job here. You lost your car. You went there in the rain. Here's the thing. Like, if you do something in the rain and then you complain that it's raining, that's on you, man. Like, I had a police officer pull me over one time because my car had just gotten in an accident. The hood was totally accordioned. And we had, like, a big rope holding the front bumper on. I was getting my new car the next day and I was going home from work and this cop pulled me over and he's like, oh, hey, you have a headlight out. And I was like, oh, I know. And he was just like, now that I see your car, I realize why you have a headlight out. And I said, yes, I'm getting my new car tomorrow. And he was like, okay, well, I just want to see your insurance and license and whatever they ask for. And I said, okay, my insurance is on my phone. So I had to pull it up and download it. By the time he walked back to my car, he's like, well, I wrote you up because you didn't have your insurance on it. And I'm like, it's right here. It's right here on my phone. And he's like, yeah, but it took you a long time to get it. And you made me stand out here in the rain while I waited for you. So I'm giving you a ticket for it. And I was like, sir, I did not decide to pull me over for a non-ticketable offense when it was raining. I did not make you stand in the rain. So I had to go to court to fight that because I thought that was so absurdly dumb. And I was so mad at him. And I did not get points on my license. They did make me pay a $60 fee to not have points on my license for that. If you decide to do something in the rain, don't complain that it's raining. That's on you.
Yeah, that's on you. You saw the weather. Or maybe you didn't see the weather. That's also your fault.
That's also on you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's readily accessible on your phone where you could have pinned your car.
Yes. And I think that if you're going to give a bad review to a dog park because you got lost, the problem of being lost shouldn't be put on the dog park. But like, if we're going to stretch it a little bit, maybe on your GPS for not being able to help you find where you are.
That sounds like a huge dog park. Could you imagine? I can't even find a parking lot from here. I've been wandering through these trees for days.
That does sound like a really big
dog park. In the rain.
In the rain.
Sir, stop wandering and taking random turns. Get some bearings on your location. You're going the wrong way.
All you really had to do is look at your dog and be like, you want to go for a car ride? And then let the dog run to the car. You just follow the dog. Dogs know how to get to their car. You're at a dog park, man. Use your dog.
What if he didn't actually bring a dog?
Well, we've talked about that before and how that's problematic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's why you got lost. There's several things you did wrong here. You didn't bring a dog with you to the dog park to get you back to your car. You didn't ping your car location in your phone. You didn't check the weather, got caught in the rain. And you don't know how to be a human compass, so you're walking the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Angus.
This all sounds like you, Angus. Not fair.
Not fair.
Your 2-star review is BS, and that's bull supply.
Okay, pet friends, it's that time again when we disrupt the show for a commercial. Nessie and Echo will be back before you know it. Just count to 10.
We wear fur, and we're damn proud of it.
What?
And our 4 legs.
And our tail.
And we go to the bathroom outside. Well, we may not be too proud of that. Sniff around, then mark your spot right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. So about the count to 10 thing. Oh, I may have misjudged it a bit. Anyway, back to the show.
Laundry detergents are also poisonous to animals because of the corrosive agents in them. So this tends to be seen most often when a cat walks through some spilled detergent and then grooms it off their paws and ingests it that way. Symptoms can include drooling, burning in the mouth, pawing at the mouth, lack of appetite, vomiting, lethargy, all that. Pets.
What?
I'm yelling at myself. I'm just scolding myself in that disappointed dad whisper where I'm just like, oh, I did so bad. Pets can also get lead poisoning. Be aware of lead paint and lead contaminated dust and soil, but also like car batteries, linoleum, plumbing materials, lubricating compounds, putty, tar paper, lead foil, golf balls, pencils, and even fishing supplies are common objects with lead in them that curious pets can get into. This one, the next bit, lithium ion disc batteries was really, really surprising to me because when ingested, they can cause an electrical current flow within the gastrointestinal tract, leading to death of tissues within the body and ultimately death of the animal. Early symptoms can include sores on the animal's gums or teeth discoloration, increased saliva, refusal to eat or drink, abdominal pain, abnormally pale skin and gums, swollen abdomen can happen later. Like that's a big one. That's the one that I had mentioned earlier. Like I just have these batteries sitting out and I put them away immediately because like my pets had not bothered them yet, but we know about my pets. We know that. Right. Yeah.
Well, one day they're just going to be like, let me lick this battery.
Yeah. So lithium ion disc batteries, extremely dangerous. Hydrocarbons are all, you know, like liquid fuels, like those are very dangerous to pets. I think most of us are familiar with like antifreeze, but there are a number of other products found primarily in garages that can be extremely dangerous to pets. Like, I feel like most of these are obvious, but you know, gasoline, diesel, paint solvents, wood stains, wood strippers, turpentine, fuel used in tiki torches, which I have an abundance of, kerosene, engine oil, roofing or roofing tar or asphalt, liquid lighter fluids, you know, like pets aren't very likely to want to drink those things, you know, but kind of like laundry detergent, if there's a spill somewhere and your pet walks through it and then licks it off their feet, accidental ingestion can occur and that can be fatal.
I just thought of another reason why that park is closed on Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
So those wood chips, second job to be wood strippers. You got to give them time to get to their second job.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. Wood strippers. Your mind works in such a different way than mine does. And that is why everything you say is like a surprise to me because I don't think that way. And that is so funny.
It's kind of a surprise to me, too.
Oh, dear. I know that wasn't a whole lot of information, but let's do another review because I'm having a good time.
That is a wonderful idea. Do you have another name for me?
I do. I have Ronnie Van Zant from Lynyrd Skynyrd for their song Poison Whiskey.
Don't drink the poison whiskey.
Don't drink the poison whiskey.
So Ronnie left us a review for a dog park in Covington, Louisiana, called Pretty Acres Dog Park.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It is a 2-star review. I'm going to show you the picture first. How about that?
Okay. Is it people poop on park benches?
It is not. It's a picture of the park.
Okay.
That's obviously a nighttime picture of the park.
Yes, with looks like a floodlight.
Keep that in mind.
Okay.
Ronnie said, 2 stars. The park has no lights, so I don't think you can actually count it as open till 9 p.m. We made a detour on our road trip to this park because it had been stated as hours of open till 9 p.m. And that's what they pulled up to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking my dog in there for a quick walk around.
No.
I will post the picture online if you guys are interested to see what they rolled up to.
There is light, but it looks like the beginning introductory shot to a horror film.
Yes. I will not be proceeding with my dog. No.
No.
They can wait. So on our recent road trip to Louisiana, we came across a Love's, which is those really big gas stations with areas for like truck drivers to shower and those kind of deals. And they have a gated off dog park so that you can let your dog like run around and burn off some energy mid trip or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that seems like a better idea than whatever you just pulled up to there. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not getting out of my car. I don't think you would either.
Mm-mm. No, I'd keep going.
Good advice.
So do we do about toxins? First and foremost,
we don't ingest them.
Well, yes, best advice, leave them alone. But if it's done and over with, first thing you should do is call your vet, ask him about, this is what you think may have happened. These are the symptoms, you know, talk to your vet first and foremost. There's also two 24-hour hotlines that you can call to help you. ASPCA, the Animal Poison Control Center, right? We've quoted a lot of their stuff on part one and part two of the toxins episodes. So they have a 24-hour hotline. The Pet Poison Hotline, which is another 24-hour animal poison control service, you can call either one of those places. I do know that ASPCA, the last time I had to call, I think I paid about $100. But when you call, you know, you want to be ready to provide information about the animal involved. You want their species, their breed, their age, their gender, their weight, if you have it, any symptoms that you've noticed so far, whatever it was they were exposed to, if you know what it was, or if you even think that it might be, the amount of whatever it was that they ingested, and how long it's been since that exposure. And it, you know, it can also be helpful to have like any product packaging or if you have a container nearby for reference. Those are also very, very helpful things, because that's going to be a huge part of what determines if this is something that, you know, needs to be hospitalized. Is this something that needs emergency treatment? Or is this something that you maybe you can just kind of watch the symptoms at home and have symptomatic control. If your pet, though, is having seizures, or they're unconscious, or they're losing consciousness, or if they're having difficulty breathing, those are symptoms like immediately take your animal into your veterinarian or to an emergency clinic. That is not something that you sit on hold and wait for. I can't remember if it was ACVP or APCC, but one of the alphabets that I've gotten all my information from for today had an emergency kit. So it's kind of just a list of things that you should keep on hand and within quick reach, just in case your pet has been exposed to a toxin. So they said, you know, your local veterinarian's contact information, always good to have. They recommended a bottle of 3% hydrogen peroxide to induce vomiting if needed, and a large syringe or a turkey baster to administer that peroxide. I feel like the doctors that I have recently worked with in the last 10 years have been more on of the opinion that inducing vomiting at home can have more problematic effects than just bringing the pet in and letting them assess first. But I mean, maybe you'll call the poison hotline and that's what they tell you to do. So having it on hand could be helpful. A saline eye solution to use as flush if they were exposed to harmful substances in their face. And just a note, like saline eye solution is not the same thing as contact solution. So you do not want to use contact solution. You want to use saline eye solution. And then like an artificial tear gel to lubricate the eyes after you flush them. You know, so that's going to be like Gentile, for instance, is one of them off the top of my head. So yeah, something like that to lubricate the eyes after you flush. Any mild grease cutting dishwashing liquid. So in case you need to bathe the animal after a skin contamination, little tweezers or forceps if you need to remove like a stinger or something. They say to keep a muzzle on hand to protect you against fear-induced or pain-induced biting, which is a really good idea. They recommend a can of wet pet food and a pet carrier as well.
Nice list.
I thought it was a really good list.
Relatively affordable list too.
Often things that you just have in your house, like I've got dishwashing liquid, I've got tweezers, I've got, you know, a turkey baster.
I typically carry tweezers on me around work because you never know when you got to catch a stray eyelash or something. No, that's not why I carry them. But I do keep tweezers on me at work.
Yes. You want to have one final review?
I do. Do you have for me a name of another poison?
I do.
People.
I have Joey Ramone from the Ramones for their song Poison Heart. Right out of this world,
was everybody. Joey Ramone. He has left a wonderful review here for the Cabrini Playground. They have a dog park, or they used to. It's closed now, apparently, according to their other reviews. But it used to be also a dog park. Mm. And it is in New Orleans, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. It's a 4-star review.
Ooh, all right,
Joey. From 2 years ago. Joey says, nice little playground in the French Quarter. More dogs than kids, though. There's also a field that serves as a dog park / soccer field, which is interesting to see the dogs and the soccer players getting their balls mixed up with each other while playing in the same area. The soccer players don't seem to mind the dogs. That sounds like chaos.
It does. I think it's in, is it like a play park or is it a dog park?
It was a play park and a dog park.
Okay.
And so in the area where people play soccer,
yes,
there is also an area where the dogs are supposed to be or allowed to
get their balls mixed up.
Yeah, they're just sharing their balls. And they're like, the soccer players aren't even mad about it. They seem to be having a good time.
I would have a good time.
Chasing down their balls.
Sounds great. I thought for a second when he said there are more dogs than children, though. I was like, it's a dog park. There should be more dogs than children, but it makes sense.
There was also, it looks like pictures, some like children's playground things mm-hmm. for them to do, like monkey bars and stuff like that. And did you go for the children, Joey?
Uh-oh. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do it. There's more dogs than children here, which, I mean, I guess is fine. I did just watch the soccer players run over all the dogs out there, so...
That does sound like unbridled chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there was no kids to be seen. So that's probably a good thing.
But that's all I have. All the stuff.
Well, I actually have a small little bit of thing for you.
Cool.
Well, two things. First, did you ever watch the movie?
No, I forgot. Shoot. And I meant to. You know, what happened is because my TV broke. So I just decided not to watch things, but I did. I totally forgot.
I did watch The Voices.
Yeah.
And it was completely worth it.
Really?
It was a good watch. I enjoyed it. I mean, Ryan Reynolds was great in it, of course. Mm-hmm. Andrew Kendrick was... It went all the ways that you maybe weren't expecting it to go, but it is a weird movie, but it's a good time. Mm-hmm. It takes you to some dark places.
Okay.
But... the most important thing is the animals do not die in the movie. The dog and the cat that are in it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to watch it if, yeah. I can't stand that part. They tend to always take them away. But they do not in this movie. They live. So
good.
That's a little bit of a spoiler if that needed to be out there. But I still think you should watch it. It would have been great if we could have reviewed it.
Today. I know. But... I'm so bad.
Shame. You've been shamed.
Yeah. Just have a priest follow me around ringing a bell. Shame. Shame.
I'll see what I can find online. And the other thing, I found a few common myths about toxins online.
Ooh.
That were debunked by the ASPCA.
Okay.
We did cover some of the content already, so this is a little bit of a review.
Okay.
This is the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center. Mm-hmm. And they basically picked out the most common, what they called in their own article, the wacky and downright wrong theories that people have on some toxins out there.
Okay.
Rumor number one, garlic is a natural way to get rid of fleas.
We talked about that in part one.
What they say is that a lot of people equate natural with meaning safe.
Yeah.
And that is not always the case. The simple answer from the ASPCA is no garlic treats fleas.
Mm-hmm.
It just is not a thing. It can, however, of course, cause hemolytic anemia. And for dogs, we talked about the amount of exposure. You know, don't risk it. Don't sit there and count out your grams of garlic. And in mm-hmm. cats, any exposure is risky. So mm-hmm. garlic does not treat fleas. Stop it.
Stop it.
Rumor number two, ingesting mouse bait will cause an animal to seek water. And when the animal drinks the water, that's what activates the poison. Have you heard that before?
No.
I have. This is a common myth that they believe was started because people want to believe that when they put out this mouse bait that they are not going to in turn have dead mice in their house. So when they think that the mouse leaves their house to seek out water and then the poison is activated and then they die off their household premises, they're less scared of the idea, right?
Oh.
It's basically a lie that people started telling themselves so that they don't think they have dead mice under their house or whatever. So no, water is not needed to activate the poison. The three most common types of bait in the U.S. used are anticoagulants, bromethrin, methylene, and a C1 that I'm going to attempt, but it's going to be wrong, so don't hold me to it. Chlorlocalifenamina.
How you spell
which is wrong.
No, you don't have to spell it.
It's kind of a long word.
Yeah.
Chlorlocalciferol or something.
Hmm.
Look it up yourself. It's there. And they all work on their own when they're ingested. So
yeah,
water is not needed. Rumor number three, milk is a universal antidote.
I have never heard that.
Well, so there is some truth to it, but universal antidote is too far. You can't use milk for every toxin. But it does help if you are diluting a caustic substance that they might have gotten into. It can help dissolve insoluble calcium oxalate crystals that are from several species of plants. And it can decrease oral irritation because of that from digesting or ingesting certain plants. So milk can help with that. It just, milk isn't the end all be all solution. It can be helpful for certain things.
Interesting.
Rumor four, almonds are toxic to pets. Sweet almonds, the kind that are sold in most stores in the U.S., are not toxic. However, they can cause gastroenteritis or pancreatitis if a lot are ingested because they're not a natural source of food. Bitter almonds contain cyanide compound
and are considered toxic. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was on our list, but I can't remember why.
Yeah. They are not typically sold in the U.S. You can find bitter almonds in natural food stores, but they are always clearly marked as a bitter almond. But most of the ones that you get at your normal grocery stores are a sweet almond.
Interesting. Okay.
And then we have number, what number am I on?
Five?
Pistachios are toxic to pets.
I don't remember reading that. Are they?
No.
Okay.
We're not sure why nuts get such a bad rap, like the sweet almonds, but pistachios are not really toxic. They can, if they eat large numbers of them, still get gastrointestinal distress. Mm-hmm. And pancreatitis, because they're very fatty. And if you ingest them with their shells on, enough of them can cause a foreign body. Mm-hmm. But there is not a toxic element to the nut itself.
There's not a toxic element to the nut itself. Good. Okay.
The rumor that all lilies are toxic to cats. This one is
true.
Very difficult, because in order to know for sure, they actually said that you need to Google the genus name of lilies to find out which ones are actually the ones that are toxic or not.
Oh.
The three that cause acute kidney injury are the Asiatic, Easter lily, and Day lily. They are renally toxic to cats, but calla lilies, peace lilies, they contain an insoluble calcium oxalate, which can cause oral and gastrointestinal irritation. And then Peruvian lilies are mild gastrointestinal upset. But it's the ones that have the genus Lilium SP. And there was another one, but I don't have it saved. But anyway, you want to look at their genus name, know for sure. And that's actually going into a whole science thing. So it is safer to just assume all lilies are bad for you in some kind of way.
Yeah.
But the three that are deadly are the, what do you call it?
Asiatic.
Easter lily and Day lily. But anyway, gotcha. That is from the ASPCA website.
That's really good.
On myths and rumors regarding toxins.
That's a lot of good information.
That's all I got.
That's all.
That all you got?
Folks, that's all I got.
You have made it to the end of the show. Be sure to like and follow us on social media. Links are in the show notes, along with our sources for this episode. Be sure to check out our AI-generated song, closing out this episode. Teaser alert! We have a very special guest joining us for our next episode. You don't want to miss it, I promise. see you all next time. Bye.
Watch out for those lilies in your vase. Not just flowers, the dangerous place. Chocolate's sweet, but it ain't for pups. Keep Fido safe, don't fill his cup. Antifreeze looks like syrupy gold. One lick could take your love's hold. The cleaning sprays, they gleam and shine, but paws and snouts must step behind. Oh, Kitty and Rover, don't you explore. Curiosity might open toxic doors. Let's kid-proof the shelves and lock down the ground. Keep our furry friends safe and sound. Avocados may tempt the sniffy bandit, but hearts and pets, our pets can't stand it. Grapes and raisins, they sure seem fun, but they're little bombs for everyone. Bleach and booze, oh how they glare, but danger's lurking everywhere. From your countertops down to the floor, one little sip and they'll cry no more. Medicine spill and glow so bright, paw pals don't know what's wrong or right. Hide them high in your secret stash, or risk a vet visit costing you cash.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.